In the next half hour, we're going to take a look at a number of different stories that will be updating the conflict in Kosovo, and this is being recorded on August 1st of 1999. A number of listeners saw the following story, and this is gratifying. I don't know exactly where the person I'm going to quote got this information, but for those people who think that, well, there's no way to get the word out and that it's absolutely hopeless, things certainly look bad in many, many ways, and as I speak on 8199, people should be paying great attention to what's going on with the federal courts here in the United States. Digressing from the subject of Kosovo, the Supreme Court and also federal appellate courts are going absolutely nuts and are, to a large extent, disintegrating the American way of government or the American style of government right before our eyes, and nobody is taking that into account. It is it's seemingly passing unnoticed, and things that the Supreme Court and the federal appellate courts are doing are absolutely revolutionary in a very, very bad way. People should be paying attention to that. However, I want to note that with the Internet, which is kind of a mixed bag itself, well, there's an awful lot of nuttiness, not to mention outright slander on the Internet. Nonetheless, it is an open medium, and as telecommunications advance, it is possible for people to utilize the existing communications technologies in order to disseminate an awful lot of information. The capabilities of an individual to acquire, collate, and disseminate information are light years beyond what they have ever been, and that gives me a certain amount of hope. The following article comes from the Los Angeles Times of July 15th of 1999, and this article began on the front page and was continued on page A4. And by the way, in addition to yours truly, a number of listeners saw this as well, and so perhaps we'll give them joint research credit along with myself on this particular article, and a tip of the hat to some of those listeners who faxed this to me. This again from the LA Times, front page story from July 15th, 1999. It's by Mark Feynman, F-I-N-E-M-A-N, an L.A. Times staff writer, and it's about the bombing of the bridge in Varvarin, Yugoslavia. The article is headlined, "Bombing of Bridge Splits Serbian Town." It reads in part as follows. 6 weeks after NATO's warplanes killed Sasha Pontic's best friend, along with Milanka Marinkovic's only son, the daughter of a leading opposition figure and seven other civilians in this small town, the forces of nature have taken over where the alliance left off. After an airstrike that already had changed the course of thousands of lives here, floodwaters this week were tearing away large chunks of Varvarin itself, washing them downstream in the raging, rain-swollen Velika Morava River. The waters also took away the remains of a 52-year-old bridge that was Varvarin's main lifeline to the world until May 30th, when NATO destroyed it along with 10 lives. It's Armageddon, unquote, Pontic, a 27-year-old machinist, said as he lighted a candle at a riverside church in memory of his friend and reflected on the more than 40 days and nights that began with NATO bombs, then were followed by a small earthquake and now floods. "You try to live normally," he said. "You try to adapt. You try to do what little you can to better your life, to survive, to change the government, to change the man who brought this on us. But now, as you see, NATO has made that more impossible than ever. Just look around this town." And skipping down, there's also one of the deputy mayor, Milanovic, is quoted here. It's Sanja, S-A-N-J-A. Oh, no, that's Milankovic, excuse me. I'm not as deft with some of these Balkan names as I might be. No, this is deputy mayor Milija Milanovic, M-I-L-O-N-O-V-I-C. Skipping down, speaking after talking about the bombing, quote, our entire economy was connected to that bridge, unquote, said Kovrić, 43, a committed pro-Milosevic socialist who studied military affairs. Again quoting, all exports, all imports, all commuters, all farmers, everyone depended on that bridge. And everyone thanked us when we got the barge online, unquote. Then came the floods. Torrential rains last weekend ruined hundreds of acres of crops and sent surging waters down the Velika Morava and a small tributary that runs behind the town, wiping out three smaller bridges on the tributary and rendering the new barge useless. Quote, I estimate it will take about 10 days for the river to calm down enough to use the barge again, unquote, said Milanovic, the deputy mayor. Again quoting, and for this, the people will blame NATO. Listen to the following now. A 59-year-old regime hardliner Milanovic said he believes that the U.S. government is behind the rains. Quote, the CIA can now wage weather wars, unquote, he said. And he attributed last month's earthquake, which shook the town but did no serious damage, to a seismic device based in Alaska capable of creating such tremors whenever and wherever the U.S. wishes. Well, obviously, the reference here on the part of Mr. Milanovic is to Project HAARP. While it's not a seismic device, it certainly appears to have seismic capabilities. And that's the same Project HAARP that we've spoken about in five different interviews with Dr. Nick Begich, the author, along with Gene Manning, of Angels Don't Play This HAARP. The HAARP system has been termed a revolution in military affairs, or RMA, and among its stated capabilities, or the stated capabilities of its patent technology, is to alter the weather for military purposes. And it appears almost certain that another of the applications is the creating of seismic weaponry as well. The possibility of weather and seismic weaponry is something that I've dealt with at considerable length in numerous past broadcasts. I've taken a fair amount of fertilizer for my view that the seismic weapons that had been predicted as weapons of mass destruction of the 21st century might very well already be a reality, something I'm now convinced of. I began talking about that in 1988 and was, frankly, treated like a fool for that. However, one should bear in mind again that Nikola Tesla, more than half of whose papers are still classified, a half century or more than a half century after his death, created an earthquake in New York City in 1896. That is discussed in a half-hour segment entitled Even More Fun with Science, dealing with seismic weaponry. And I would note again that the U.S. and former Soviet Union had a treaty about the environmental modification for military purposes. That treaty, which was on the books by the late 1970s and was being negotiated in the early 1970s, specifically talks about seismic events such as earthquakes and volcanoes, as well as storms, droughts, floods, etc. And again, I want to note here that Mr. Milanovic certainly seems to have become aware of Project HAARP. I would note that the European Parliament is very alarmed about this, and there is a considerable amount of discussion in Europe about Project HAARP. However, in this country, one is treated like an absolute nut. I am not stating necessarily that there was any connection or is any connection between Project HAARP and the unusual weather that some of the Serbs believe is taking place there. However, I cannot dismiss the possibility, and I would also state that I'm not saying there's necessarily any connection between HAARP and a small earthquake. I don't know what the utility would be of creating an earthquake that did no damage, unless it was perhaps to test the system, but at the same time, I would not dismiss the possibility. The United States, for example, is experiencing very strange weather, a lot of very, very hot weather here in the summer of 1999. I want to stress that I'm not stating that there's necessarily any connection between that and Project HAARP, but with a system, one of whose stated applications is the altering of weather for military purposes now coming online, and with a history of testing new military technologies on the American people, I do think that's a possibility that needs to be very seriously considered. In this country, if one talks about it, one will be treated as though one had a D blank 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 growing out of one's head. However, it is with a degree of hope and relief that I note, apparently, the rest of the human race, to a certain extent, is becoming aware of this, even if the American people, including the so-called progressive sector, have chosen to ignore what they have no business ignoring. Another aspect of the Balkans War that I want to take note of, another aspect of the Balkans War that I think needs to be very carefully considered, is what is going to be taking place in Kosovo proper. In For the Record segment 159 and in For the Record segment 161, I noted the fascist heritage of the KLA, the Kosovo Liberation Army. Many of the members of that organization are descended from pro-fascist combatants from World War II. Note that when Yugoslavia was occupied in World War II, Kosovo was temporarily united with Albania, creating the Greater Albania that the KLA seeks. And I would also note that the Axis recruited a Muslim Waffen-SS division composed of ethnic Albanians, almost all of whom were from Kosovo. That unit was the Skanderberg Division. Even though it was of relatively little military value, it has a strong political impact in that many of the combatants in the KLA are the sons and grandsons of people who fought in formations like the Skanderberg Division. I've also noted that another Bosnian Muslim Waffen-SS Division, the 13th Waffen-SS Division, or Hanjar Division, had among its ranks the young Alija Izetbegović, the current president of Bosnia, who upon becoming president of Bosnia, and by the way, doing so as a doctrinaire Muslim fundamentalist, revived the Hanjar Division, specifically named after and fashioned after the 13th Waffen-SS Division. That serves as the Praetorian Guard, as sort of the palace guard to guard Izetbegović and the other Bosnian Muslim leadership. It also is composed primarily of ethnic Albanians, trained by Pakistani and Afghan veterans of the Afghan War, the largest U.S. covert operation of the 1980s. And as noted in FTR 161, the new recreated Hanjar Division served as sort of a special forces unit and was projected into many different areas of conflict in the hostilities in Bosnia. And in the mid-1990s, it was engaged in force projection into Kosovo, Macedonia, and Albania. The KLA also has a long history of association with various types of criminal activity, including drug dealing and the trafficking in contraband. And I mention this because the KLA would appear to be the going concern now in Kosovo. The following article comes from the New York Times of Thursday, July 29th of 1999. This article is by Chris Hedges, who served as the New York Times Balkans bureau chief for a number of years. It was Chris Hedges who, writing in the Foreign Affairs magazine of May and June of 1999, noted the Skanderberg Waffen-SS and fascist heritage of many of the members of the KLA. This article, by the way, was carried in many other newspapers. There were scaled-down versions of it in both the Chronicle and San Jose Mercury of that day. Again, that day is Thursday, July 29th of 1999. The following article is, as I said, by Chris Hedges. It's datelined Pristina, Kosovo, July 26th. It's headlined, "As UN Organizes, Rebels Are Taking Charge of Kosovo," subtitled "Power and Goods Seized Without Opposition, the group that fought Serbs says it will rule until election." It remains to be seen whether they wind up ruling after the election. The article reads in part, "The Kosovo Liberation Army has taken sweeping political control in the province, establishing a network of ministries and appointing local councils, seizing businesses and apartments, and collecting taxes and customs payments in the absence of a strong international police presence. Despite a peace agreement that calls for a United Nations-appointed administration, and the fact that the Albanian militants have no legal standing, they have created a fait accompli, and these days they talk not of ceding power to the United Nations, but of cooperating as if they were equals." Quote, "We will work with the United Nations," unquote, said Muye, I'm not going to attempt the last name, G-J-O-N-B-A-L-A-J, the new Deputy Minister for Reconstruction and Development, again quoting, "But this is our country and our government. We are in charge until the elections, when a permanent government will be installed," unquote. The rebel army's swift move to take power has been aided by the squabbling and ineffectiveness of the moderate opposition, along with a disorganized United Nations administration that is short on personnel and awaiting the police that member countries promised to send to help maintain order. Skipping down, "The ramifications for Kosovo and for the international powers that have set up this protectorate are immense, for the raw, often unschooled fighters have as their political patron the government of Albania and care little for the civilities of Western-style democracies. Despite the presence of the 35,000 NATO peacekeepers, violence has been rising steadily, especially against the remaining Serbian civilians. The looting and burning of Serbs' homes, as well as dozens of assassinations and kidnappings of Serbs and a few Albanians, including the massacre of 14 Serbian farmers on Friday, speak of a province slipping into the kind of gunslinging lawlessness that has characterized Albania in the last few years." Quote, "The only political group that has any structure is the KLA," unquote, said Batan Hashiu, H-A-X-H-I-U, the editor of Koa Ditori, the Albanian language daily. Quote, "It is using it to take power, backed eventually by a police and a national guard force it alone will control. It will be very hard to turn Albania into Kosovo, but I expect very easy. But I expect it to be very easy to turn Kosovo into Albania. Each day, it is becoming more dangerous to think and speak independently." Unquote. The rebels are supposed to turn in their weapons to the NATO-led peacekeepers known as KFOR before the end of September. But they have been slow to comply with the demilitarization agreement and are hiding large amounts of weaponry, NATO officers said. And skipping down in the article, Hetem Hatemi, H-E-T-E-M-I, who said he led a unit of 20 fighters in the war, most from his immediate family, was seated outside his new business, the Mozart Bar, which was seized from its Serbian owner. Quote, "My sons and I showed up in Pristina with our weapons and decided to take this bar," unquote. It was a point of pride to Mr. Hetemi that one of the enemy, a Serbian paramilitary leader known as Arkan, who has been indicted on war crimes charges, used to drink at the bar. Mr. Hetemi said, quote, "Everything we had in our village was destroyed. I took a Serb car, but the KFOR soldiers stopped me and made me give it to them. What am I supposed to drive? These peacekeepers are worse than the Serbs," unquote. The provisional government is headed by Hashim Thaci, T-H-A-C-I, a rebel commander who has appointed himself prime minister, and his friends and relatives to head various departments, including his uncle Azem Syla, S-Y-L-A, to the post of defense minister. Again, I'm probably mispronouncing some of these Balkans names, so bear with me on that. One detail not noted here is that Hashim Thaci basically was educated in Austria and speaks fluent German. That's the language with which he converses with most observers and journalists from other countries. Continuing with this article, Mr. Tachi's orders are usually delivered by bands of sunburned young men, many carrying concealed pistols. The orders are handed over with warnings that failure to comply will lead to beatings or death. Mr. Thaci says he will govern Kosovo until parliamentary elections, which are expected to be scheduled sometime during the next 9 months. But he does not speak of disbanding the structures that have been set up to allow the United Nations to assume responsibility. There is no deadline for elections. Local elections may precede parliamentary or regional votes, meaning that Mr. Thaci could be in power for well over a year before any vote is organized by the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. Under Mr. Thaci, the large ministries here hum with activity. In the lobby of the old Social Security building in Pristina, now the rebel movement's defense ministry, groups of wiry young men sat huddled at their desks over coffee cups and dented tin ashtrays filled with cigarette butts. Rebel commanders, many with pistols tucked in shoulder holsters, moved in conversation up and down the central spiral staircase. New bureaucrats with fancy titles and late-model sedans and jeeps, all parked outside and curiously lacking license plates, barked orders and passed out documents stamped with, quote, "the Defense Ministry of Kosovo," unquote. The reach of these newly formed institutions is increasingly felt in the streets and neighborhoods, where most people say they are afraid to run afoul of the self-appointed authorities. Business owners interviewed in recent days were reluctant to give their names, but many said they were being pressed for money by the rebels or have had their vehicles confiscated. Tahir Kanolli, C-A-N-O-L-L-I, 49, a heavyset man with a deep baritone voice and the soothing, obsequious mannerisms of a salesman, ran a furniture store in Pristina for nearly 3 decades. He bought his couches, chairs, dresses, and tables from a furniture factory near Nice, that's spelled N-I-S, and doggedly fended off Serbian tax inspectors who visited frequently with demands for money. He, like many businessmen, hoped that when he returned to Pristina from the refugee camps in Macedonia, such harassment would end. Instead, a group of fighters arrived at his shop 2 weeks ago with a paper issued by, quote, "the Ministry of Public Order," unquote, demanding the keys to his 1990 Audi 80 and his store. Quote, "They were arrogant, brutal, and rude," unquote, he said, unfolding the stamped order that he now carries in his pocket. Again quoting, "They told me that if I did not comply immediately, they knew a cellar I might like to visit," unquote. Within hours, $50,000 worth of furniture was loaded onto trucks brought by the officials who had demanded his keys. The looters not only stripped the store of its contents, but also ripped out the heaters, lamps, and mirrors. They carted away 24 large flower boxes that had been outside the building. The next day, several flower boxes of the same design and with the same kinds of plants were placed outside the building where Mr. Thaci works. Mr. Tachi's appointees said that such confiscations, especially of state-owned buildings, were part of their effort to determine property ownership. They also defended the decision to begin collecting money from businesses, a practice many shop owners have labeled extortion. It, quote, "If mistakes are being made, they will be corrected," said Mr. and again, G-J-O-N-B-A-L-A-J, the deputy minister. Again quoting, "There were many irregular contracts. We need to regulate things in Kosovo, and this means collecting taxes, or contributions rather, to rebuild. We are the legitimate government, and we must assume all governmental responsibilities," unquote. Mr. Cannoli has spent hours outside Mr. Tachi's ministries in recent days in the hope that he can reclaim some of his property or be compensated for it. But each attempt has been rebuffed. Quote, "I saw the KLA police inspector who gave me the confiscation order driving my car, although it had no license plates," he said. "I went to his office but was told at the door that I should never come back or attempt to speak with him. I am afraid. I survived Serb occupation to be destroyed by my own people," unquote. In For the Record segment 153 and also in 151, we took a look into not only the KLA's long history of involvement with criminal activity, including drug trafficking, but also the fact that Albania, in which criminal activity is at an even greater zenith than it was with the KLA's activities in neighboring Kosovo, we took a look at how the Albanians themselves are taking over some of the rackets that had been previously the province of the Kosovars. Not only have the refugees that fled Kosovo into Albania been mercilessly exploited by those organized crime elements, but those same organized crime elements have ripped off and exploited journalists and human rights and aid workers who've gone there to try to help the refugees. And I would note that young women from Kosovo who were crossing into Albania were kidnapped and sold into slave prostitution almost as soon as they crossed the border. With the sort of heritage that the Albanian organized crime elements and the Kosovo organized crime elements and the KLA have, none of this should be particularly surprising. And indeed, with the fascist heritage of the KLA, including the SS Skanderberg Division, and with the probable association between the KLA and the Skanderberg descendants with some of the ethnic Albanians from the newly recreated Hanjar Division, none of this should be a particular surprise. Indeed, some of the more level-headed American diplomats had been saying, basically, that the KLA were terrorists, and that was the precise language that was used. So this should not come as a great surprise. It is nonetheless altogether disturbing. One should note that the KLA was first basically incorporated as part of the civil authority in Kosovo by the German peacekeepers, who were interned, as we looked at in RFA, or not RFA, but in For the Record segment 159. The Germans, when they returned to Kosovo, were hailed as liberators by many of the older Kosovars who remembered them from World War II. And as one notes the situation of the KLA in Kosovo and the lawless sort of government that they are imposing, one should not lose sight of the fact that their basic position in Kosovo comes as a result of the early pattern of cooperation that was shown to the KLA by the German peacekeeping forces, and the German peacekeepers occupied much of the border region from which many of the refugees entered into Kosovo, those are refugees who had fled during the bombing. The following article comes from the Financial Times of London from Tuesday, June 15th of 1999. This is an article by Kevin Dunn in Marina on the Kosovo-Albania border. It's headlined, "The war's not over, it's just a pause," said the KLA officer. The article reads in part as follows. The main border crossing between Kosovo and Albania was yesterday under the control of the Kosovo Liberation Army, or KLA, whose troops have inserted themselves between Albanian border police on one side and German troops from KFOR, the peacekeeping force, on the other. And I'm not going to try this name either. B-U-J-A-R-B-A-J-R-A-K-T-A-R-I. KLA commander at the border dismissed any idea of disarming or withdrawing. Quote, "Our order is to hold this border and to cooperate. We have fought for this country and freedom, and the war is not over yet. This is just a pause." Skipping down. "All Yugoslav forces are supposed to have withdrawn from the Prizren region by tonight, and German officers acknowledged they would then have to deal with the problem of the KLA. The rebel army has controlled the Marina border crossing since Sunday, when they unfurled the red Albanian flag with its black double-headed eagle above the Yugoslav customs house and police post, firing into the air to celebrate. The German KFOR troops stood by as local Albanians went on a looting spree at the border post, hauling away their booty in carts into Albania, and later as the KLA arrived to take over the border post. And skipping down, as yet, German troops have made no move to disarm the KLA's impromptu border guards. Lieutenant Colonel Helga Eriksen, E-R-I-K-S-E-N, a press liaison officer for NATO forces in Albania, said yesterday, quote, "We are in transition from a combat zone to peacekeeping, and these days are particularly tense," unquote. But for the moment, the KLA soldiers hold a trump card. The KLA have placed themselves in front of the German troops, and appointed themselves the task of pushing the refugees back, explaining the dangers that can lie ahead from mines, unexploded shells, and bombs, and from Serb forces that have not yet completed their withdrawal. For now, the Germans, outnumbered, have chosen to accept KLA help. I would take some of the qualifications that the journalists stuck in here with a grain of salt. German intelligence, both civilian and the BND and military intelligence, have been cooperating with the KLA, as we looked at in numerous programs, including For the Record Segment 120 from December of 1998, For the Record Segment 147 from March of 1999, and also For the Record Segment 161 recorded in July of 1999. Again, there appears to have been considerable cooperation between German intelligence and not appears to have been. There was considerable cooperation between German intelligence and the KLA, and indeed U.S. intelligence appears to have, to a certain extent, picked up where German intelligence left off in the early 1990s. I would cite a paper in that regard by Professor Michelle Chasudovsky of the University of Ottawa that was read into the record in For the Record segments 153. And again, all of those For the Record segments are available from Spitfire. Listeners, by the way, should visit the Spitfire website and look at the various For the Record segments that are described there. By way of wrapping up the program, we're going to take a look at an article that was researched for us by a listener. This is a Reuters story, Dateline Brussels, July 13th, and it's headlined, "Kosovo to Use German Mark for Now, G7. The German mark will probably play a lead role in Kosovo's economy for the foreseeable future, ministers from the Group of Seven wealthy nations said on Tuesday after talks in Brussels. Quote, "At the moment, the Deutsche Mark is already in use. I have the feeling that will be the case for some time," the French finance minister Dominique Strauss-Kahn told reporters. He said the issue was discussed only briefly at the halfway meeting, which brought together the G7, the European Union, the World Bank, and the International Monetary Fund to map a strategy for rebuilding Kosovo and helping the broader Balkan region after NATO's 11-week air war against Yugoslavia. So the German mark, now the currency in Kosovo, nominally at least, still part of Serbia. That concludes this segment. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.